And we've got our fourth speaker here. Say hello to Sarah Mastin. Sarah, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am really enjoying my day. It's flying by. I can't believe that we're already to the fourth talk. I've been taking notes, like a random raccoon over here, going crazy. And because there's so many things I want to go look up and check out later on. So anyway, I don't want to hold you up too much. I'll just let you take it from here. You can share with the audience who you are and what you're going to be talking about.
Hi there. I'm Sarah Mastin. How are you? I am a senior IoT solution architect here at Microsoft. You may be able to see my cat, Dennis, is joining the presentation today. And hopefully you can still hear me. I've had something happen with my headset, but here we go. So I'm going to talk to you today about how big data 2.0, and that sounds like the buzzword, big data. I know it does. But I'm going to get into this a little bit because IoT is your new operational data source. And I find this topic really interesting because I come from a data warehousing background. And I spent 20 years doing data warehousing, building data solutions, and really watched the evolution of how, you know, it just became an enterprise database, you know, connecting local systems and then up into the cloud that we are in now. And so I wanted to go over some concepts here. So I'm going to go over big data and data in general for those of you who are new to the database side and maybe working with some data warehouse architects now that, you know, their field is new to you. And for the data warehouse architects out there, you know, IoT and embedded engineers may be new to you, but at the end of the day, you're all working with data. So if you really think about it, you know, an IoT solution architect, you've got the data scientist, the data engineer or data solution architect, and the IoT engineer all working together. This is an interesting combination that really learning each other's language is going to help bring those solutions to light. So for those of you that, you know, are new to the data scene, I'm going to tell you about the three Vs. The three Vs are volume, variety, and velocity. So why they call big data in the beginning is that it was the rise of the apps. And what that meant was, is it went from on-prem connecting all these relational databases into one big place to do reporting. Well, all of a sudden there was the web and there were all these apps and people were clicking things. And this was such a huge problem that it actually led to the rise of the cloud and how to compute that much data and how to store it. And so the volume is how much is being stored to be analyzed. The variety is that, you know, you are getting different types of data. It's not just, you know, a row and a table now. It's unstructured. It's semi-structured. It could be files. It could be pictures. The velocity is that it's coming in really, really quickly. And when you think about people clicking on buttons on apps, the machines and the devices are able to bring in the data exponentially faster and exponentially as much. So just to bring in an example of how this is, you know, a big data problem or what that is if you're new to the IoT space is to say, you know, think of this satellite array. You know, this is a radio array that's down in Australia. It is creating 50 terabytes of volume of data per day. It's then sending signal and image data. And not only signal and image data, it's bringing in data around the radio telescope itself, right? So you're getting about 600 petabytes of data per year. This is a lot. For anybody who's coming in from a data warehousing architect background, the eyebrows might have gone up at that point. But this is an example of the three Vs. So the volume, the variety, and the velocity. So how are we going to deal with this? But first, before we start talking about what we're going to do with it, let me just go into the nature of it a little bit. JSON documents. About, 5 or 6 years ago, I didn't have much experience with those myself. I was busy combining data sets that, you know, were pretty much tables and relational. So let's look at this. This stands for JavaScript Object Notation. And this is really the data structure of the web. And JavaScript is in the name, but it's also the format that many, if not most, of the messages you're going to be dealing with are going to come in. And this is known as telemetry data. You've got a timestamp, you've got some measures here, and you can tell by the timestamp that this is probably coming in fast and furious if you're used to a shorter timestamp. So this is going to be a lot of data. Let's look at the metadata. So not only is my device going to send me measurements that it's collecting, it's going to send me data around the device itself. Where is this device? In this example, it's sitting in a building. The building type is a school. Okay, great. Now I can add new data to it and say, what's the weather? Now we're getting into a topic that many data warehouse architects are going to be familiar with. Ah, I'm combining data. This is now getting more interesting. It also sends pictures, let's say. Now, this is interesting because, you know, on a slide like this, you may be, oh, I don't know, I can't really think of an example, but think of a vending machine. Your vending machine traditionally knows how much it's sold and it knows if it's out of inventory. And it might not be able to tell you that, but somebody who fills that vending machine is going to be the one to tell you that. However, if you put sensors on this machine, now suddenly you could get very exact information about what product is out, and then you're very specific when you're restocking it. Or it could be taking temperature information of what's inside, what's the humidity. But if you add the weather data to it, what's it like outside? Could I save energy by using the fact that this vending machine is sitting in 0 degree weather, and maybe I don't have to use as much energy and waste energy keeping it cold when it's already cold today? Now, there are four main challenges with IoT data that people talk about all the time. And the one that we're really dealing with today is in this module right now, is the combining of data with other data sources, this number three here. But we also need to understand that this data lacks consistency. What, you know, you could have 10 different types of devices, they're all sending temperature data, they're all different types, different formats, and that's a problem to deal with. Contextualization, where does this device sit in regards to other devices around it? Where is it sitting? That metadata is helping. And that's really a concept we've been talking about all day today around digital twins. You know, I can map this vending machine, which is next to my gas station, et cetera. So this was all a bunch of, you know, me making the case to you that IoT data is a big data source. It fits this model of the three Vs. That maybe you only thought about that when it came to other types of data, but this really is a new big data source that we're dealing with and want to use and leverage and bring into bigger stories. All right, so here we go. Are you still with me? Because I know I'm going through a lot of things. And if you talk to anybody who's been doing data warehousing, you're talking about ETL, you're talking about ELT, you're talking about what kind of data warehouse structure am I doing? There's a lot of stuff once you get into this world. If you talk to anyone in the IoT world, we're talking about connection, we're talking about all sorts of things. So where does it come from? It's coming from all those devices. And we've heard in the other sister modules to this one that I invite you to watch if you haven't yet, is that this is called Azure IoT Hub on Azure as our cloud gateway to bring in all this device data. And I've put the link here so you can go and learn about that. So out of the box, IoT Hub is going to be able to connect to a few other places within Azure. And this is really interesting because you can route the data into storage in a data lake or something called time series insights, which I'll get into in a minute if that doesn't mean anything to you yet. You can go in through an event hub or a service bus and start sending, getting events from that data and doing something in an application. You can process it. So the term real-time analytics may mean something to you. It was a big challenge back in big data 1.0 and a big reason why we were trying to figure out how to use that data. But we've got it again, and now we have services that can connect to IoT Hub right out of the gate. So Stream Analytics is really fascinating because it can do some windowing type functions, right? It can aggregate, it can store it into tables, or it can sit there and watch and say, hey, you know, that temperature got too hot or too cold, send an alert, let's go do something. All right, there are four main buckets here when you're talking about data landscapes and types of data. Since I started my career, this has doubled. So it started with two of these topics when I started a while back. Now, it wouldn't surprise me if next year we end up with five or six, and this will grow as time goes on, I'm sure of it. So we've got our relational databases, and these are your standard rows and tables. Most people are very familiar with those these days. The data warehouse, now you're getting into conversations. Do I want a star schema? Do I want it relational? Do I want to do something that's columnar databases? There are all sorts of deep dives into all these topics, so I'm just going to brush on them. But if you're interested, there is a 45-minute version of this talk that you can double-click into many of the things we're talking about today, and I'll give you links to that at the end. And data lakes. So we've got NoSQL databases. I digressed. I apologize. So NoSQL came up. This was really an attempt to fix what was happening once the web 2.0, definitely 2.0 came up. How do you store data as quickly as possible, and how do you get it around the world? And so this is really, that is the rise of JSON, and there's all sorts of materials you can learn about how NoSQL databases came into to be. And I'm not just talking about document store, I'm talking also about graphs. If you're into graph databases, super interesting. And if you are a graph database person, please, please, please go look at Azure Digital Twins. You are going to really, really get into that. And you may know Hadoop. And so Hadoop is the MapReduce, you know, the big jobs on big, big data sets that have come up. So those may be familiar. And here's a mapping of where the Azure services fall on those four buckets. Ooh, still there? Still hanging on? I know it's a lot. This slide is here so that you can just map, you know, where it's coming from, where it's going to, and we have added this to the materials for your reference. All right, I mentioned time series insights, and this is incredible. If you've ever tried to do a time series database, you're probably twitching. You know, it's not easy. But here we have a service that you can just click into IoT Hub. Again, watch the longer talk on this, and then go out to MS Learn, and you can really get double-clicked into this and learn about it. You can augment it. You can share views. You can do all sorts of things, and then it's connected to your data lake. There really isn't enough time to do that justice, I'll be honest. Here we have this. This is an ideological conversation. It's almost, we could spend the whole time talking data lake, data warehouse. These two don't live together historically. There is a new service from Azure called Azure Synapse. I'm going to show a screen print of it in a minute. But for those of you who come from the solutioning side of data with ETL management, you know, managing your SQL scripts, you're going to be really excited about that. I was, first time I saw it. Whew. All right. Questions? Put them in the comments, and then we'll try to get to some. If I don't get to your questions, feel free to connect to me on LinkedIn if you'd like. So here's a dashboard. We all know what a dashboard looks like. We've got some things. If you look at this with the eye of a business intelligence architect or data warehouse architect, you'll see, I see things that look like they're pretty canned from a table. Okay, I see some charts. I see some alerts here. So that could be something coming from devices. And then I see something that looks like that time series insights that you ran past. So yes, the answer is yes. If you look at what's behind this layer of analytics, you are going to see that, you know, these measures are coming from a Postgres database, could be a dimensional data warehouse, could be just an operational data store, an ODS, as we call it. Then you see this lower quadrant here. I've got Stream Analytics, and it's aggregating my device data in a time window. And you can set that all up in Stream Analytics and then saving it to a table. And that's where that metric is being pulled. I've got Time Series Insights integrated. I didn't mention when I went right past it that there is an API SDK layer that you can bring the power of Time Series Insights into your existing applications and dashboards, including a Power BI integration there. All right. So if you go to this link, you can go out and double click into this entire the demo that I've been referencing here, and you've been seeing screen prints. This is Synapse. Those of you who come from the data solutioning part of the house will see the pipe there on the left. You may see that canister. For those of you new to databases, it looks like a soup can. That is our international symbol for a database, if that's new to you. But right away, this is a place where your report writing, your data scientists, your ETL developers can all meet here on Synapse and manage your work. This one I'm throwing up just as an idea. Many of you may have come to the session to learn, hey, I want to do something really cool and wow my boss and come up with a new idea, especially if maybe you're a data person saying, hey, how do I get into IoT and how do I bring this up? I would guess that many executives, many people of every level are kind of interested in how do I put my device metrics right up there with my traditional, like here's my sales and here's my web clicks and all of those metrics that are pretty standard. This is really exciting to me that you'd be able to just integrate, whether it's Stream Analytics, any of that IoT data right into your dashboarding. And so for that wow sort of POC, I'm putting this up there to just give you some ideas. And now for something completely different. This is Logic Apps. So when I was, coding a lot of SQL, I didn't have a lot of Java experience or Python. It wasn't really, it's a different kind of coding when you're doing stored procedures or SQL. Logic Apps are a low code way to get into doing something pretty cool. And I'm just putting it up here to spark your interest and get you thinking about, if you didn't think application design and development was for you, there are a lot of new tools out there, Power Apps being one of them, Logic Apps being able to integrate. Like, this may be really exciting to you, especially if you're trying to bring that alert information into something like a Teams group message. That's where you're going to start to do that. All right, so I have a QR code. Here is the link to the 45-minute session by my colleague Christopher, where you double-click into all these concepts. Thank you, so much for keeping up with me. I can't express how I know this is a lot of topics in such a short amount of time. Here's some more resource links for you. There's four other sister modules, as I call them, that are going to bring you through that journey of how do I, connect a device to the cloud? Now we're in what do I do with this data? How do I make it do great stuff with data I already have? And then just IoT solutioning in general. It's all set up to be 15 minutes to get the concepts, 45 minutes for anything you want to dig into, and with the accompanying demos. Learn alert at Microsoft Learned. We have the actual MS Learn modules that are paired to this session on the IoT learning path. So those are listed out to you as well. And I want to say that this is such a great example. I didn't actually know about this till a colleague told me, and I just said, whoa, what a lot of data, crazy. So this is where you can find more information on that project. Thank you so much for your time, your attention. MS Learn has so much to do. I want to call out the certification exam as well. The AZ220 for IoT is phenomenal. There's also a lot of other ones out there as well if you're coming from different disciplines and want to increase your certification footprint.